Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design conference call for the 25th day of June, year 2023. I'm your host, Pastor Dan, and the topic for today's broadcast is tribulation. The definition of tribulation is 1, great affliction, trial, or distress, suffering, a time of great tribulation. Synonym can be found at trial. Second definition, an experience that tests one's endurance, patience, or faith. Synonym can be found at burden. Before we begin the broadcast, we dedicate it to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this broadcast to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh, in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the program. Prinhanda, which means good afternoon. Cumri Ambith, Wales forever. A lot of fingerprints in history when you start doing searches of migrations of our people, and also the similarities of all the Indo-European languages that come from the roots of, they always say Latin, but Latin came from Greek, and Greek came from ancient Paleo-Hebrew. So the chain of custody for our words and pronunciations and all that go clear back to the beginning. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces. We do draw your attention to the Daily Mail page, where we put updates, news items, health items, etc. The home page is where you find information if you feel led to help us with the donation, and for those that do, thank you very much. The contact us page, if you do not have my personal email and or phone contact information, you can get a message to me using contact us at the website. Remember, the will of our Heavenly Father will never take you where the grace of our Father will not protect you. Some old adages: do not be afraid to fail, but be afraid not to try. That's a lot of white people's problem today. They're afraid to try anything. Life does not give you what you want. It gives you what you work for. Another adage that our people seem to have forgotten. We often hear the word dystopia used, and we like to get our definitions correct as we use them and try to improve our vocabulary. So dystopia, a state in which the conditions of life are extremely bad, as from deprivation, oppression, or terror. And we are living in that right now. That tribulation, that definition would apply, but so does the definition of a dystopia. The word humble, we don't hear that very often anymore. Scripture often talks about us being of humble spirit, marked by meekness or modesty, not arrogant or prideful. Again, our people, the white race, have lost the ability to be humble, to be meek, to be modest. They're much about themselves. Many of them seem to be narcissistic in their attitude and behavior. Best way I have to define narcissism is basically that the universe revolves around them and their needs and their wants, etc. So it's always about them. And the other characteristic of a narcissist is that they're never at fault. It's always somebody else's fault. And I'm sure everybody out there knows plenty of people who exhibit that. Richard Buckminster Fuller, you never change things by fighting the existing reality. To change something, build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete. And that's what we're all about. We're all praying for that, to come up with communities and an alternative way of life, because this one is atrocious. Absolutely atrocious. So a new model must be built. It's not a question anymore of it would be nice. No, it's a matter of survival. So a new model must be broke. Ralph Waldo Emerson told us that if a man can write a better book or preach a better sermon or make a better mousetrap than his neighbors or the people in the area, though he lives and builds his house in the woods, meaning away from town, the world will beat a path to his door. So that's the basis of, well, we call it capitalism, but it's basically free enterprise. That's the system we should be under, not capitalism, certainly not socialism or any of the other isms. It's basically free enterprise as Yahweh created us, men and women. People will be attracted to success. So if we have a better way to educate our children, we go down that path. If it's looked at with approval, people will flock to it, and it will grow on its own. It doesn't need government. Remember, the truth can stand on its own, but it takes the force of government to promote a lie. Keep that in mind as we look at what's going on in the world today. The truth stands on its own. So does free enterprise stands on its own. It doesn't need regulation, rules, licenses, fees, taxes, and all the rest. If you build a better wheelbarrow, you will be successful and people will support you. If you start to build a faulty wheelbarrow because you're more concerned with making money than a quality product, you will fail. It reminds me of when there was an auto manufacturing crisis. I believe it was in the 1970s or early 80s. And many of the big car manufacturers were ready to go out of business. And they should have, because they built shitty cars. And I remember Chrysler at the time was one of them. Okay, but the government bailed them out. And as I recall, the only one that did not accept government money was Ford Manufacturing. And for many years, I would buy Fords. I would not buy General Motors or Dodge or Chrysler. They took government money because they were producing inferior cars. Now, the theory was that this would be too big of a hiccup in our society if the major manufacturers failed. That's a communist, socialistic way of looking at things. Yahweh's way, or free enterprise way, would be they deserve to fail. Now, the best engineers and designers and mechanics and factory workers would migrate over to the new manufacturers or to Ford Motor and build better factories and better cars, while Chevy and General Motors and Chrysler would go out of business, because they should have gone out of business. Okay? The government always mucks things up. So anytime the government says we're here to help, especially help with our dollars that are stolen from us, you need to run and hide. The government can't fix anything. The government is the problem. Even President Ronald Reagan said that. The government is never the solution. The government is the problem. And that's one of the things we need to be looking at as we look to solve the crisis that we find ourselves in, or tribulation, in the latter days. And it is the latter days. Just before airtime, by the way, I was looking up translations that said for the second coming of Yeshua, would it be the end of the age or end of the world? And I was surprised at how many of the translations put end of the world in there, even though we know for a fact that's not true. It's the end of the age. And so I stuck with the scriptures today for a lot of my readings, because those are the folks from South Africa, the Boers or the Afrikaners, Germanic peoples that are there. They created a version of scripture called the scriptures. They just called it the scriptures. And their translation was very true, at least for the verses I was looking at for today. So, and in their translation, it says the end of the age, which is what all English translations should have for that verse. This also gets to the point of where people often contact me and say, which version should I buy? I want to have a Bible in my house. Which one? Well, if you only get one, odds are you're not going to get the right translation at times, because I've never found a English version that gets everything right from Genesis to Revelation. I haven't found it, not yet. And so you're going to have several versions, and you're going to have some online, like Blue Letter Bible or eSword, available for word searches, just for the case like there. If you've got a version that says the end of the world, and we know that that's not correct, you need to go in and do your own word search. We have to remember, you know, our enemies have got us looking into ancient texts and the teachings of the church, which was guided primarily by the Roman Catholic Church for a long time. When our father didn't necessarily want us to do that. If you remember right, that the prophets spoke to the people. Even at our feasts, they spoke the law. They didn't hand out copies of it. They spoke the law. The prophets spoke. Yeshua spoke. The disciples spoke. It was the spoken word, truth. And when somebody's speaking truth to us, most of the time we will understand it as that, because the Spirit testifies to the truth. Men can play with the meanings of words, and they can play with translations, and we need to understand that that has been going on for a very long time. This is why we cannot divide our family based on interpretations by one group versus another group. That's the enemy at work. Anything that divides us is of the enemy, the adversary, Diablos, devil, Shatan, Satan, whatever you want to call the adversary. Adversary comes in many forms. So the thing we have to keep in mind is adversaries are just that, adversaries. What are they trying to do to us? They're trying to cause division. And how do you do that with our people, our family? You inject error, or you inject an opinion, and the next thing you know, we're arguing with each other, even to the point where people will resort to sometimes violence. And again, for the many years that I've traveled to gatherings, this is before the internet, we would go to gatherings and have many speakers there, and often I was asked to be a speaker. And it was amazing to me how many times our people would get into fights over things. Like back then, a big thing used to be dress code. Some people thought the ladies weren't appropriately dressed. Sometimes the men, but mostly it was the ladies. You'd have a group thinking there was too much flesh showing, etc. They would argue about what day the Sabbath was. They would argue about to read. They would argue about translations. They just love to argue. I've noticed that about our people. Every time we got together, instead of putting all that effort and energy into bringing us together as a family, they would spend their time finding things to fight about. Okay? For those people that know me, I'm just the opposite of that. I'm trying to bring the family back together. Familia, the family. Okay? It comes from the Latin. And it's the familiar, the people who share what? Language, race, culture, heritage, faith. What's our faith? Our faith is in our Creator Father. When you divert from that, now we get into the contentions of who's who in Scripture, what does the prophecies mean, when did they take place, blah, blah, blah. It goes on and on and on. But here's what we have to understand. Especially now that we're in this tribulation at the end of the age. there is great tribulation. I'm on the phone with people under tribulation every single day. Sometimes the communication comes by email or text, but a lot of it comes by phone. People expressing to me tribulation. We've got brothers and sisters who are in tribulation within the court system. We have people in tribulation financially. Many people have family issues going on, etc. So we have tribulation all around us, even within our families. And we certainly have tribulation with the outside world. I recently told everybody about my son and his family were having tribulation with a landlord. And the landlord had actually filed court paperwork that had lies on it. And so the family decided to fight back. We consulted, some of us did, with people with legal backgrounds, etc. And it turned out that Yahweh, I believe, this is my personal belief now, Yahweh supports those with pure hearts. Those who truly love him, who love the truth, they're not violent, they're not antagonistic, they just simply want justice. And so I told my son to, you know, relax. I said, when I've been in tribulation before in the court system, Yahweh sent angels. Angel just means a messenger. And angels sometimes can be in the form of almost anybody. But what they do is give you a piece of information, or they will provide you with a book or a text or a reference to another individual. In this case, my son was looking for some legal advice because I told him, I said, we need to back up what we've studied and learned about landlord and tenant law in that particular state. I said, it'd be good if we could back it up with somebody who actually knows. So he called a lawyer, but it turned out the lawyer was a part-time judge in that same county. And so he said, I cannot represent you. However, his assistant or executive secretary got on the phone with him for almost an hour and gave him advice on what to do, not to do, etc., about that particular county's court. And it turned out that the advice that this lady gave to my son was very accurate. And so it relieved a lot of tension so that when he went to court, he was much more relaxed and focused on what was going on. Long story short, the landlord and all of his lies were thrown out of court, and it turned completely around to where now my son and his family may be able to go after the landlord with fines and stipulations that he has to comply with. So again, when the righteous stand firm, the wicked flee. And the problem with our people today is we don't stand firm. Our people don't even like inconveniences today. That's the thing that just totally amazes me. We got scripture after scripture of what it says to resist evil, to fight evil, etc., even unto death. I think I have, well, I'll get to some of the verses here in a little bit. But you know what I'm talking about. Okay, so even unto death. Can you imagine that today in this world? Even unto death. Where would we find a group of white people going to resist anything unto death today? It's hard to find them, isn't it? Our people run and hide and acquiesce to the tyrant for inconveniences, let alone a threat of death. If somebody walked up to the door and pointed a gun at him and said, you will bow down and worship the Antichrist, the system, or I'm going to put a bullet in you. Almost none of them would resist at that point. So it's scary that we have so much compliance when all they're threatening is an inconvenience. And people say, well, no, they threaten my job. Yeah, that's an inconvenience. I got news for you. A job is an inconvenience. Losing a job is an inconvenience. It is not a death threat. You might think it feels like a death threat because you've got retirement or vacation or whatever, but that's your problem. I spent my life as a contractor moving from job to job just for that reason. I did not want to build up vacation time, seniority, etc., and then have it be used as a leverage by the company to get me to acquiesce to things I didn't believe in. As a contractor, I could stand up and literally walk off the job. I like that. Not to mention the fact, as a contractor with no benefits, I was paid more. Then I got to decide where my money went. What benefits did I want to pay for and how much, and which benefits I didn't want, like stock options and stocks in other companies. I don't want that. I don't play the stock market game. I never did. And it worked out to where most of the jobs I had, we were treated better than the in-house people, except for my very last job. It was kind of ironic. My very last job, I went to work for the headquarters of Duke Energy in Charlotte, North Carolina. And it's the only job I ever had at that level, even at the headquarters, that I put everything into a cardboard box and I walked out. Usually I would give at least a week to 2 weeks of notice and all this other stuff. I just put everything in a box and I walked out, and I didn't even tell them I was leaving. One of my coworkers came up to me and said, "Dan, are you angry about something?" I said, "Oh, yeah. Yeah, you could say that." He said, "Well, are you leaving for good?" I said, "Oh, yeah, I'll never be back." He said, "Are you going to tell the boss?" I said, "No, let him figure it out." And it did. Ironically, it took him over a day to realize I'd left completely. And he called me on my phone as I was leaving the area and wanted to know if I was angry at something. And I said, "You should know, because you're the, excuse my French, asshole that treated me the way you did and talked to me the way you did, that caused me to leave. So, yeah." But this is how removed management is from the things they do and say. And I've interviewed many, many people in the last 10 years that they are going through exactly the same thing. The racial preferencing under affirmative action and political correctness, where totally qualified white people can't get the promotion or even keep the job, so that they can get the right gender or skin color in the position. And that it's causing them great consternation, and they're leaving their jobs because of it. I left the job because of this incompetent boob that had been put in charge of our department was chastising me over the way I was writing the procedures and handling things, when he was completely wrong. And what he did not know is that my peers were the people that the Nuclear Regulatory Commission came to over 20 years ago. We were the guys they came to set the standards for writing procedures. And yet this guy was talking to me as if I was a novice, just learning the job. So I told him the writer's manual that they were giving everybody. I said, "Who do you think helped write the writer's manual? My peers and I were the people that they talked to and questioned as to what to put into that manual. And this guy was telling me to follow the manual. I helped write the manual." But this is who they put in charge today. I found out through friends later on that this guy got his job because he got kicked out of every other department within Duke Energy, and so they just shoved him in charge of our department to get rid of him. Okay, that happens at the corporate level over and over and over. Totally incompetent people, because they want them out of some other department and put them over here out of the way. But the problem is, now you have to work under this incompetent boob, and you try to get a job done. Long story short. So the tribulation takes it many forms, and it's causing great consternation and financial woe to our people. And so this is why we have to learn, how does Yahweh expect our people to come through the time of tribulation? as the scriptures will attest to here, he wants us to do it with pure hearts and to put our trust in him. Who's more powerful, our adversaries or our Father? Well, let that sink in. Who has more power, our Father or our adversaries down here on this plane we call Earth? This experiment, this testing ground, our life upon this plane called Earth. That's the test. Who has the power, the man who created all of this or the adversaries that nip at us and everything else? And as I said, during the last 3.5 years, our people acquiesced when the enemy, the adversaries, gave you a way out. Okay? They came out with things called mandates. Oh, the governor has issued a mandate. Did anybody stop to question what a mandate is? Did any of the zombies ever say mandates are not law? The governor has no right to issue something I have to obey without my legislature voting on it. Something as simple as that our people could not even figure out. A mandate is not law. Now, unfortunately, you got people wearing uniforms and badges and people wearing white lab coats and stethoscopes. They're just as much an ignoramus as the zombies. Because many of them don't even know that a mandate is not law. They watch too much of what we call the goddamn television, the tell-lie vision, Talmud vision, whatever you want to call it. And on the cop shows and detective shows and all that, they generated this idea that because these people have uniforms and guns and are in trusted positions, that everything they say must be treated as if it's law. That's not true. And if the righteous would stand firm and challenge it, you would find out it's not true. It is a perception. It is propaganda. It is a manipulation of the mind. The Bible calls it sorcery. Word sorcery. It is the same word sorcery used in the book of Genesis when the Nakash, some people call him the serpent, but it was a man, it was no damn snake. When Nakash used word sorcery to convince Eve to be seduced and therefore produce a second bloodline through Cain. It's going on since Genesis, okay? So we know it's been going on for 7,000 to 8,000 years, as best we can tell. So our enemy does not change their modus operandi. They don't. They use the same methods over and over and over. And yet our people fall for the same sophistry, the same lies and deceptions, over, just like with this whole COVID nonsensical thing. Okay? Over and over and over they do it. Again, I pointed it out to friends and relatives, and I said, did you read the mandate? Well, no. I just know it's a mandate. I said, did you read it? Because if you read it, you would see there were exceptions. Maybe our people don't know what the word exception means. An exception to a rule, an exception to a law, an exception to a regulation. Exceptions mean things that don't apply. And so if you had a underlying condition, you were, quote, exempt from the mandate. And people say, well, maybe I don't have an underlying condition. All of us have an underlying condition because all of us need fresh air to be healthy. That's an underlying condition. And under the HIPAA laws, they're not allowed to ask you what your underlying condition is anyway. So they actually have a law prohibiting them from asking you about your condition. So you had the tools to take a stand, righteous people. And yet a lot of people didn't do it. Why? Because of their fear, which is what? Fear is a sign of what? A lack of faith. Their fear that the, quote, government or somebody would come down on them and cause them some kind of inconvenience. And was it pleasant to do it? No. I went to a few stores, and no, it wasn't a pleasant experience standing up there and being looked at like you're just come off a spaceship from some other world, being treated as if you were a terrorist coming into their country because you dared not to put a filter in front of your face. And yet, when you take a stand, it was amazing that after no more than 5 to 10 minutes, they had to back off because, believe it or not, the law was on our side. But they rely on our ignorance of the law, of what the meanings of words are. And even if they had the law on their side, does the scripture tell us it's our right then to say, well, okay, you can go ahead and be a tyrant? You can force me to put poisons in my body, to put obstructions across my airway? No, it says quite the opposite. Even if the, quote, tyrant has some sort of legality behind him, you still have the right to say no, because any law created that does that is no law at all. William Blackstone asserted that many, many years ago. Any law created by any legislature that goes against God's common law is no law at all. It has no value, no weight. Besides the fact that your body is your responsibility, not a government's. And I said this many years ago, when did the government have a mandate or authority from us to have any say in our health care? When did that happen? Our ancestors didn't believe they had any say in it. The people that generated the Constitution and many of our organic documents, they sure as hell didn't think the government had any say in our health care. None. Ever. The same thing could be said about the education. It's none of their goddamn business how we educate our children. None. And yet you give authority to them. You obey them, even when it's to the detriment of yourself and your family and your loved ones. Why? Why would you do that? They have no say in the foods and or medicines or plants that we put in our body that we consider good for our health. They have none, except that our people have acquiesced and given it to them of late because of the mental conditioning, because you allowed them to put your children through, quote, public education, which, by the way, is one of the planks of the Communist Manifesto. Compulsive free education. Compulsive. Get that word, let it sink deep in your skull. Compulsive, meaning mandatory. That's a communist concept. A heavy progressive income tax is a plank of the Communist Manifesto. Let that one sink in too. And yet people comply. I've seen white people actually tremor at the thought that they might not have filed the paperwork quite right or sent enough tribute to the criminal organization known as the federal government. Remember, the word government comes from the Latin words govern, to control, ment, as in mental or mentality, to control the way you think. That's what government is based on. It is a mind control mechanism. All government is. And we could even take the word religion and start tearing it down, and you'll find it has almost the same meaning. It is a control mechanism. Our Heavenly Father put us on this earth to be free men and free women upon the land. Everything we need to be successful is here for free. You just have to have the knowledge how to harvest it and use it responsibly. Whether we're talking about fruits and vegetables, the timber, the waterways, the land itself, you are to use it free of charge with respect. Or as I think Ella said one time, the Bible can be torn down in a simple phrase, do no harm. Do no harm to yourself. Do no harm to your family. Do no harm to your neighbor. Do no harm to the animal kingdom and the vegetation. Do no harm to the air and to the water. You're free to use those. They were put here for your use, but you do not have the right to harm them, which is exactly what we're doing. This is why we're in tribulation. And again, go back to the beginning of the message where I went through the definitions of these words. We are in tribulation. Why? Because the enemy, the wicked, rule. The scriptures tell us when the wicked rule, the people mourn or moan as under a grievous deprivation. Okay? But when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. So what do you think's wrong today? Yeah, the wicked rule, the evil rule, the perverts rule. People who have no right to sit in, quote, positions of authority. And they only get away with it because of our acquiescence. We have to learn to come out of her. As it says in Revelation 18, verse 4, and another voice from heaven came to my ears saying, come out of her, my people. Who's her? Babylon, which is a Greek word, Babylon, which comes from the Hebrew, our language, not Yiddish, the Jewish language, but Hebrew, our language. It comes from the word Babel or Babel. And it means confusion caused by admixture. So come out of this confused state of being, because of the admixture of God's law and man's law. They don't belong together. They're mutually exclusive. So that's why there's confusion. Come out of her. Come out of this confusion because of admixture of races. Admixture of what's moral and immoral. Admixture means things that are brought together that don't belong together. Come out of this confusion caused by admixture, my people, so that you may have no part in her sins. And what is a sin? A transgression of God's law. That's sin. Not having evil thoughts like the church teaches, especially us young boys, you know, oh, if you think about naked women, you're going to burn in hell. And no, that's not what sin is. Sin is mixing what doesn't belong mixed together. Sin is eating foods that weren't meant for you to put in your body. That's a sin, a violation of his law. Dan, what are you trying to tell me what to eat for? I'm not telling you anything. Personally, I don't care what you eat. That's your problem. If you want your body to fall apart, that's your business. I happen to know the Father gave us a very marvelous creation called a human body that's capable of living hundreds of years, actually. But that will only happen in a very clean environment. And you putting clean water and food into it as fuel. If all those things are pristine, your body is going to last a very long time. And in good shape, too. You won't be 150 years old and 50 years of that's in a wheelchair. No. You're going to be just like Moses and the rest of the men of the Bible, or not all of them, but a lot of them anyway. They just simply went to sleep one night and didn't wake up the next day. they didn't live out their lives in arthritic pain and having to be carried around on a litter or in a wheelchair or something. No. So again, you can sin if you want. You can put that crap in your body, but you'll pay the price. And the church was, well, the devil did it. The devil did it. So the devil made you put that pork in your face? The devil made you eat that shrimp? Or did you do it? Devil had nothing to do with it. The devil had nothing to do with your joints starting to disintegrate. Had nothing to do with your irritable bowel syndrome, your ulcerative colitis, or your Crohn's disease. No. There was no adversary did that to you. You did it. And how do I know this? Because I've had this speech with some of my own children. Yeah, their own habits created their problem. It wasn't a devil. It wasn't a spirit. It was stubbornness. What does the Bible say about the Israelite people? They are stiff-necked. That's a biblical way of saying extremely stubborn. And that's what our people are. They don't want to hear it. Just like when I tried to tell people during the last 3.5 years that go read the mandate. You don't have to do that. They would rather put the restrictive device over their airway called a mask. They would rather do that and acquiesce to the tyrant than to pick up the mandate and read it, which was only like usually 1 or 2 pages. It wasn't like it was a long document, and right there staring in her face was every justification not to do it that was possible. And every time I challenged somebody and told them about the Americans with Disability Act or the HIPAA laws, when I challenged them, they backed off, especially when I told them you need to call your legal department because you're about ready to violate the Americans with Disability Act, also called the ADA, and I can sue you for $75,000. That's federal law. They didn't even know that. Now, can you imagine being the employee of a big box store like a Walmart or a Kmart or a Target or something like that, and you did not tell your employees about these exemptions? I had one young man down here in South Florida tell me that he was very appreciative of the fact that I did that. Of course, he got in my face about not wearing a mask and all because he didn't know any better. But after I talked to the manager and she called the legal department and the manager said, have a nice day. And she looked over at the young man and said, you will, sir, you will ring this man out and let him buy what he wants to buy. That's when we had our conversation, and he thanked me for educating him. He said, I had no idea. We're being told that people like you just get stuff off the internet, and it's not valid. That's what he was told. Instead of being told the truth, he was told a lie because management wants to acquiesce to their upper management, and so they pass the idiotic things that they want from up above down to the low level, and so they lie to them. Now, how do I know this is true? Well, the young man told me. So in that case, I knew it from him. But also in my own experience in the military and in nuclear power, we had the same phenomenon happen all the time. Upper management would come out with some asinine, stupid, totally ridiculous thing they wanted us to do, and all the middle managers would follow suit because no brains and no balls. They just did what they're told because, after all, they had a mortgage and a 24-foot boat to pay for and a couple cars and kids. They had all kinds of excuses why they couldn't challenge upper management, and so they pushed it down on us. And when we resisted, because we were the guys and gals that are out there in the trenches having to live with this idiocy, when we challenged it, we were either lied to or just told the same thing as them, that put up with it or lose your job or be punished in some other way. Did it make it right? No. So many of us just simply ignored the rules that they came up with and did it the right way anyway. And most of the time we got away with it. We knew what we were doing was right and what they wanted us to do was wrong. So we did it the right way in spite of the retards that were in charge. The problem is with modern technology now, with cameras everywhere and hiring people from the office to be spies. And yes, they did do that. All the engineering staff had a quota of how many hours they had to spend out in the power plant spying on us. And they would get credit in their bonuses if they wrote us up. Well, if you're going to give somebody a bonus to write somebody up, guess what? They're going to look really hard to find something. That's why so many traffic tickets are given out, in case you haven't figured. And so that is one reason many of us retired early, because it just got to be actually affecting our health. The stress of working under those kind of conditions for people who are mental retards, it gets to you after a while. It should get to you. You should want to be out of that situation. Again, why we need to form communities of like-minded people and come up with an alternative economy and an alternative marketplace and live similar to what the Amish do and what our ancestors did. I was talking before the program came up, one of the gentlemen that is part of a group of fellow believers is looking into setting up townships, which is 6 miles square, 6 miles by 6 miles. That's a township. So 36 square miles is a township. And each 1 mile square is called a section or a precinct. So you could set it up as townships, and within the townships, you could set it up like Moses. Each section, 1 square mile, would have a captain. Maybe there's 10 families live within that 1 square mile, so it would be a chieftain, the head of 10 families. That ton is Old English for 10. So chieftain was the head representing 10 families. So 10 families would be in a square mile, so you would have 36 chieftains within your township reporting to the elders, let's say. Let's say they followed Yahweh's example with Moses to the letter. So within your township, you would have a body of 3 men who were judges, just like the old days with Jacob Israel. When there is a dispute, you took it to the judges, the 3 prominent elders of the community, and they would adjudicate what can't be solved at the 1 square mile level, which means they didn't get together very often, because 95%, I would say probably, maybe even 99% of the issues can be solved at the local level between neighbors within your 1 square mile. It would be very rare to have to go to the 3 elders or the 3 judges of the community to solve a matter. It would be rare. We know how to live with each other, especially if we're raised with Yahweh's law from the time we're children. Unlike today, where they're raised with all sorts of nonsense, and Yahweh's law is probably one of the last things that they ever hear about. So if you put all that together, again, it's a very simple plan. That's why Yahweh set it up that way. Everything is simple. And it works. The problem is our people and their mental condition. They're brainwashed. They're fearful. They think the world and all of its people are more powerful than our Creator. I've had a lot of people say, how can you sleep so good at night? I sleep really well at night, most of the time, because I don't fear the beast. I gave it up a long time ago, about the same time I stopped fearing death. That's why the scripture says when you reach that point of not being afraid of losing your life, He gives your life to you. You actually become alive because you're dead already. When you fear dying, you're dead already, because that is now a leverage point for the enemy. And that's what's wrong with most of the white race. They think like Jews, because the Jewish religion, Judaism, communism, teaches that this world is all there is. There is no hereafter. And if you don't believe me, go ask a rabbi. They don't believe in a hereafter. That's why they want this world to be as close to their father, Satan, as possible. That's why all this insanity is going on. Our race, on the other hand, has always believed that we are spiritual beings and there is a hereafter. And for us, there is. That's why our people, through the centuries and through the millennia, were not so easily pushed over. This is why the rest of the world feared the Israelites on the march. Scripture is attesting to this, and so are historical documents. When the Israelites went on the march, they played the drums and the bagpipes. The bagpipes have been part of our people's culture for thousands and thousands of years. Okay? And when they would hear that music, it would terrify them because the Israelites were on the march. We weren't pushovers, and we did not fear death. That made our warriors very, very difficult to defeat. Even the Romans, when they had to go against the ancient Britons, feared them for that very reason. And the other reason was that the ancient Britons actually had better chariots than the Romans. They had war chariots that made the Roman chariots look like popsicle stands. I mean, our people are fierce. But the biggest reason they feared the Britons was that they had no fear of death whatsoever. None. Because that's how they were raised. They were raised with the truth that this life is just that. It is just this life. Whether it's a long one or a short one, doesn't matter. It's going to come to an end at some point, no matter what you do, no matter what you say. That's why Scripture says it's better to be harmed for doing good than evil. We are supposed to be the ones who will take it on the chin if necessary in order to do the righteous thing. And those people that do get it are often successful. But again, we have to put Yahweh first. We have to have a strong prayer life. We have to have an attitude of service. Service to our Father in heaven, number one. Service to our brethren, number two. It's not... This life wasn't given to you to see how many toys you could get, how much money you could accumulate, how many properties you could own. That's not the purpose. That's why he said it's better to give than to receive. That's also in Scripture. I remember a lot of people saying, wow, it's better to give. Who in the hell wants that? Well, I'm here to tell you, if you have the attitude of being a giver, you're going to be a much happier person. You're going to have much more good works. And you're going to hear many more good things from our Father when you get in front of that great white throne than you will if you have the other attitude. And it doesn't mean to live a life of poverty. No, that's not what it means. It just means that you care more about the condition of others than you do accumulating, quote, things. And here's the irony of it. As you become more concerned about the welfare of others, our Father sends angels to minister to you. And some of those angels may even be benefactors in the sense that they will financially reward you. But you didn't seek it. It's a gift. That's the main thing. You don't treat our Father in heaven as a genie in a bottle, ever. That's not his job. You are his servant. You are to seek his will for your life and for those that you interface with. That's your number one priority. As it says in Proverbs 25:2, it is the glory of Yahweh God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings to search out a matter. The honor of kings. And you could say princes too, leaders of our people. Sometimes it's not in your face obvious, but with a little diligence and a little work, you'd be surprised what you can find out. Henry David Thoreau told us that there are 1,000 hacking at the branches of evil to the one who's striking at the root. Now, we've talked about this quote many times, and you can see it play out in this world today. All of these misfits that are in charge are branches on the tree of evil. All of these queers and trannies and other race mixers, etc., they're all branches. The pharmaceutical companies are branches. People like Fauci and Burks, criminals, murderers, are branches. The medical mafia is another branch. The man-made governments are branches. So who are striking at the root? How many are out there even recognizing that there is a root? There is a common root to all of these problems. And the root is a group of people with tremendous wealth in this land. It's kind of funny that everybody's got their attention drawn to this little submersible vessel called a submarine that crushed. At least that's the story. I personally don't think anybody was in it. It's just the story to divert your attention. But they want that. And they don't want you to... They don't want anybody to explore the Titanic, because then they will find out it was not the Titanic that went down. It was the sister ship. It was Jewish lightning, just like the Twin Towers in Oklahoma City and all the others. It's Jewish lightning. The old sister ship was in bad need of repair, and instead of getting it repaired, they just put the words Titanic over the name of it and used it and sunk it. Now, why would they do that, though? Well, for one, the insurance money, and they didn't want to fix it up, just like the Twin Towers in New York. But the other reason was three of the richest Anglo-Saxon men in the world were on that boat. And these three ultra-rich Anglos were opposed to the creation of the Federal Reserve, which is what the Rothschild Roosevelt Jewish connection wanted, so that they could create a central bank and steal the wealth of the middle class primarily. But they also want the upper crust. So often these so-called accidents aren't really accidents at all. There's often people aboard those trains, planes, or ships that the enemy want taken out, and the other people that die are just collateral damage. It happens all the time. Larry McDonald, who was the head of the John Birch Society, very strong patriot, and a member of Congress, was on flight 007 across Russia when he was supposedly shot down by a Russian fighter. That's a lie, of course. The plane did come down, but it wasn't shot down by some fighter. It was brought down intentionally. And all the other congressmen that were supposed to be on that flight changed their flight plans at the last minute. So the only congressman on that flight was Larry McDonald. The same thing happened with the Titanic many years earlier. The three targets thought that they were taking this luxury liner cruise with all these other mega rich people, only to find out that at the last minute, the Jewish element of these rich people changed their plans and didn't get on board, which left the three people opposing the Federal Reserve on board. And so when they died, their fortunes were easily divided up and the opposition to the Federal Reserve disappeared. Isn't that sweet? Jewish lightning strikes again. So we have a group of people who represent the root. And I say that because if you do the work, if you do your due diligence and you search for who finances all of this complete stupidity that's going on today, you'll find it's the same group of people. Okay. Nothing new under the sun. Same group of people murdered the Messiah. Same group of people went after the prophets. The same people have been our tormentors and creating the tribulation that we live with ever since. Ever since. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. So between the quotes by wise men and our scriptures, we're given a lot of wisdom, but we don't often pay attention to it. Matthew 24, verse 21, "For then there will be great tribulation, such as not been from the beginning of the world until now, no, and never will be." The whole chapter of Matthew 24, by the way, is worth reading because it talks about the coming of Messiah or the Anointed One, okay? That's what Messiah means, the Anointed One, and the end of the age. A lot of it is talking about that. And it also refers to Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, and other parts of Daniel, but 12:1 is, "At that time shall rise Michael," which in the Hebrew is, "Who is like God?" Michael, "the great prince, who has charge of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble or tribulation, such as never has been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book." Many of the verses talking about that are us being overcomers. No matter what the tribulation is, those whose name is written in the book, those who belong to our Father, need not fear those upon this world. Give your heart to Him completely, and you might be surprised what happens to your adversaries. Let me give a case in point real quick again back to what just happened to my son when he went to court. Now, my son had a lot of consternation. He was very worried. He's not familiar with courts, and, you know, he's never been in serious trouble. And so a lot of trepidation about going there and a fear that this landlord knew somebody at the courthouse or the judge was in his pocket for some reason, maybe a relative or whatever, because he was a cocky sort of fellow. But when my son and his wife appeared at the court and they went into the courtroom, the very first thing the judge did was to throw the landlord's case out. They had not said a word. They did not present the whole folder full of evidence that they brought. She threw it out. So I reminded him of our time of prayer and thinking about what could happen, and I told him that. I said, you'd never know where your aid and comfort may come from. It may surprise you, and it did surprise them. As it turned out, this judge was very much against the landlord because he lied and he violated procedure and Georgia law, which we were aware of, but we weren't sure if the court was going to point it out, and the court did point it out. And we did find out he had somebody in the courthouse in his pocket, but it was a clerk. My guess would be that that clerk is either looking for a new job or has a letter of malfeasance in her file because she violated procedure to try to help this landlord out, and the judge pointed that out. So it should be interesting. So again, when the righteous stand firm, bad things happen to the wicked because they're often liars, deceivers, cheaters, and they don't even follow the rules, even though they're often made by the enemy themselves. But their own rules will sometimes bite them, but our people don't challenge. We just acquiesce. Matthew 24, 29, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light and the stars will fall from heaven." It's all references to our people, by the way. typically when it talks about darkening, it's ignorance. And same thing with the moon, okay? Our people giving light or enlightenment or consciousness or truth, and stars falling from heaven, meaning we'll fall from positions of power. Do you see any white Anglo-Saxon Protestants in charge of anything anymore? I have a hard time finding them. And the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Yeah, the governing authorities. We're supposed to be in charge when we're not. Nowhere to be found. Everything's been taken over by the enemy. Matthew 24:22, and if those days had not been cut short, no human being would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. Remember that. For the sake of the elect, because you're part of the elect. For the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. Revelation 3:10, because you have kept my word about patient endurance. Okay, now we have a conditional sentence here. Because you have kept my word about patient endurance, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world to try those who dwell upon the earth. In other words, if you've already been tested in the fire and you've been proven to be his silver, bright and shiny, reflecting his values, what need does he have to put you through the fire with the rest of the world? The answer is none. Hallelujah. I don't want to go through that again. So stay true to the Father. Stay on the right side of the highway. Stay on the moral high ground. And you don't need to fear it. And it often, read Psalm 91. That's another good psalm. Many soldiers, many battalions through history have read the 91st Psalm because it's called the Soldier's Psalm. And we're all soldiers in this final great battle. So read the 91st Psalm where it says that you will see thousands fall at your one side and 10,000 at your other side, but it will not come unto you. Okay, we're witnessing all kinds of health problems from the people that acquiesced and did what the beast told them. All kinds of problems. Millions of people suffering in different capacities. But not the righteous. The people who didn't put that garbage in their body, who don't eat the garbage food that they put out in their corporate stores, don't drink the fluids like soda pops and energy drinks and all the other garbage coming out of their factories. Those who obey the food laws, those who obey the Holy Spirit that says, stay away from these things. Turn that damn television off. Stop putting that poison into your mind. It says, guard the things that come through your eyes and ears. Why? Because you're a holy temple. And those things are poison to the temple. It's the same reason why it says don't get tattoos. They are a poison to the temple. He says don't defile my temple. I had a young man ask me for a reference as to why he was challenging in another country, challenging the demand that he put the poisons in there. And he wanted some references, and that's one of the references. You are commanded to keep the temple pure. And the purer the temple, the greater the connection between you and the Father. The closer your walk, the stronger it is, the more confidence you will have, the more peaceful you will sleep, because you know you have that kind of connection. So again, Revelation 3:10, I will keep you from that hour of trial. Now, hour here means a short period of time. They didn't divide the clock up like we do today. So in the Greek language, hour here is often a short period of time. Just like when it says in, I'm looking for it here, In the Greek language, it says, don't let them deceive you. See if I can find it real quick. Very interesting. When you go to the concordance and you look it up, Matthew 24, again, when Yeshua is talking about so that you are not deceived or led astray, that's the word planete in the Greek language. And yes, that's where we get the word planet. So isn't it odd that the things they call planets come from a Greek word which means to go astray from the truth, lie and deceive? Kind of interesting, isn't it? NASA is a lie. Everything about NASA is a lie. In fact, the word NASA is an acronym. However, when you put the letters together, NASA, and you pronounce it as NASA, you're pronouncing a Hebrew word that means exactly the same as the Greek word planetes. Isn't that interesting? There are no coincidences in this world. The enemy puts many truths right in front of you, hoping that you will not look into the matter and figure it out. Another good case in point, when you go into that big building full of all kind of poisons, it has great big red block letters right over the door that says pharmacy, which comes from the Greek word pharmakia, which means drugs and sorcery used in black magic. Now, do you think it's an accident that our adversaries picked the word pharmakia or pharmacy to represent what they put in our bodies? Do you think it's an accident that in ancient times that very word meant drugs and potions and things used in black magic? Can somebody tell me when black magic was ever done for a good purpose? Was sorcery and black magic ever used to make this a better world? And yet the pharmaceutical industry is named after the very practice of putting poisons and potions on people to do harm. And we haven't figured it out yet. Doesn't say much for our team, does it? No, I shake my head. I'll be honest with you. I shake my head often at the state of our people and the total lack of concern and the fact that we are quite lazy. We don't have that gift of discernment. We don't have that burning desire for truth. And I've often wondered, why not? And again, I'm going to blow my own horn here because I've been a truth seeker since I was a boy. And I still remember the night on my little bed there in the farmhouse when I prayed the prayer that changed my entire life. And no, I don't want to hear people going, oh, that's the night you got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, Dan. No, me and the Father talked quite frequently before that night. But that was the night when I committed myself to be his servant for the bringing in of his kingdom, for it to be established upon this earth. I've often wondered, where did a young boy come up with even that notion? And yet I did. Could have been the Holy Spirit. Could have been the Father put it in there. Could have come from me. I don't know. All I know is I said the prayer, and he's answered that prayer, just as he will answer your prayers. And when he does that, you become a rabid truth seeker. Some people get addicted to drugs or entertainment or booze or sex, all kinds of things. We can get addicted to all kinds of things. But you want to talk about a life changer is when you're addicted to truth, because you don't accept lies and distortions anymore. It doesn't even matter what it's about. It could be about cars, could be about carpentry, building a home, operating an engine, operating a lawnmower, operating a power plant. It could be about anything. And certainly it applies to Scripture. Because when you're a truth seeker, you're going to dig. You're going to keep digging and digging and digging until you get an answer that, quote, fits. Remember what it says in Scripture, that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the separated Spirit within you, testifies to the truth. Testifies to the truth. We used to call it a vibration or a gut feeling. And our people need to learn how to rely on that gut feeling more today than ever, because there are deceivers and liars everywhere. And many of them are in religious organizations and churches. Many of them. And many of them have created, quote, translations of Scripture. Because remember, our adversaries will let you tell an ocean of truth as long as you let them float that lie on the top, such as the verse we talked about here, the end of the world instead of end of the age. Big difference. Big, big difference. Or thou shalt not commit adultery. That's not what it said. Thou shalt not mongrelize. Big, big difference. In fact, in the Greek, that mongrelization process isn't just about people. It's about animals, vegetation. You don't create something new by mixing things that don't belong together. You're playing God. Our Father created everything the way He wanted it to stay. That's why the instinct within the animal kingdom is to stay kind after kind. Even in the world of plants, you will find more times than not, in the plant world, they stay kind after kind. It's when man gets involved that the apple cart gets overturned and chaos ensues, because we just can't leave things alone, can we? We think we're so smart, we can build a better mousetrap that our Father built to begin with, and we end up mucking up the whole works. It's really sad to see when it's so simple, so simple. Jeremiah 30, verse 7, alas, that day is so great or terrible, there is none like it. It is a time of distress for Jacob. That's you and me, folks. Yet he, our father, shall be saved, or I should say Jacob, yet he shall be saved out of it. And again, this gets back to the verse we talked about earlier. If you obey me, the Father often puts that condition on there. If you obey me, though it's a time of great distress and trouble, you shall come through it. You shall be an overcomer. You shall be victorious. But you got to stay the course. Got to stay the course. And of course, in Matthew 24, also we have this verse at 42 that says, therefore, stay awake, meaning be attentive. Watch what's going on, for you do not know on what day your master or Lord is coming. And also at Matthew 24, verse 9, then they will deliver you up to tribulation. And in some cases, put you to death. You will be hated by all ethnos, races, or nations for my name's sake. Yeah, do they hate us because of who we are? Sure they do. Why? Because they're not us. They know we're a blessed people. They know we're the civilizers and the creators of self. They know that. No matter how much the Jewish media lies, down deep, they know, and they resent that. They resent that we have that special bond with each other and our Creator Father, because they don't have it. So there's envy and jealousy, and not all of them, obviously, but some of them. This poor world is in travail because the sons of Yahweh have not manifested themselves. Let that sink in, man. And that's right out of scripture, by the way. The whole world is in travail, waiting for the sons of Yah to be manifested. You might say the whole world's waiting for that Ezekiel 37 righteous army to come up out of that valley of dead and dry bones. Spiritually dead people who are unaware of their destiny and who they are. When they come together of one accord, there is no power on this earth that can stop them. Take that to the bank and let that sink in. When the men of Jacob, Israel, our people who love the Father, when those men come together in one accord, they are invincible. And the enemy knows that, by the way. That's why they spend so much time dividing our ranks and getting us to fight with each other. So what's the corollary of that? We should resist the evil, tune them out, turn off their devices, and come back together as a family and set up our own system built upon God's law and walk away from theirs. Theirs is going to self-destruct. It's built on lies and deceptions and greed and avarice and all the rest. Ours will be built upon the premises that our Father gave us, truth, honesty, and prosperity for all under His law, because His law is righteous. With that being said, dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this short period of time that we can spend together. We just pray that the folks out there picked up the words that you meant for them to hear, and also the spiritual leanings and teachings, because there's great power and great strength and great healing within that. And boy, oh boy, our people need it right now, Father, because it is a very anxious time. There is much tribulation, especially mental as well as financial. But we know that if we overcome, if we stay strong, if we stay together and we work together, we can come through anything the enemy can throw at us. But you are our king and our lawgiver and our judge. You have to be the head of this effort, and we have to make you that. And if we will learn to be servants and followers and warriors under your command, no power in the heavens and the earth can overtake us. And the great day that will come when the evil are destroyed, as Malachi chapter 4 so eloquently puts it, and so does Obadiah at verse 18. When those are put under the heels of our feet as ashes, meaning totally destroyed, this poor world will finally know peace and beauty and cleanliness and health and righteousness. To that end, we ask that you walk with us and guide us in all that we say and do, to thy glory and for thy kingdom. And always, Father, protect us from our enemies. In Yahweh's name we pray, hallelujah.